Welcome to STEM Spots, a weekly science review produced in cooperation with the Missouri State University Department of Physics, Astronomy, and Materials Science.
Hi, this is Dave Cornelison, and once again, you are listening to STEM Spots. Certainly, besides the hurricane in Houston and its tropical storm approaching Florida right now, what's been in the news lately is centered primarily on North Korea and its development of a possible nuclear device. I want to talk a little bit about that and talk a little bit about nuclear physics. As Mark Oliphant, who was a nuclear physicist in the 1940s, said, after the bomb was exploded in Alamogordo, New Mexico in 1945, he said, well, now we've seen the death of a beautiful subject. So how do we go from a beautiful subject, the investigation of the innermost processes of a nucleus, to essentially the death of that subject? I want to talk a little bit about that if you don't already know this adventure, and talk a little bit about whether the price we paid was worth it in the long run. So, of course, some Hungarian physicists, especially a physicist named Szilard, he got together with Wigner and a few other famous Hungarian physicists and basically bandied about the idea, once fission was discovered, that you could make a weapon from this, that it could be a major problem. And he primarily worked with others, including Einstein, primarily as a name, a signature on a letter to Franklin Delano Roosevelt, to basically get the U.S. government to sit up and pay attention. Up until that time, nobody had really paid much attention. And in fact, even if such a device could be built, no one was sure exactly how it would be built, and no one sure exactly what you would do with it once you got it. But Szilard, this Hungarian, pushed ahead on this idea and essentially got the entire effort started. It was funded, and after it was funded, things went rapidly. When you think about this, what exactly happened? Well, nuclear fission was discovered in 1938 and explained theoretically in 1939. And then Niels Bohr and some other people made the determination and essentially postulated that the separation of two different isotopes, uranium 235 and uranium-238, the separation of those into a U-235-rich substance could indeed provide the nuclear material for a weapon. By 1942, the first atomic pile nuclear reactor was built under the stadium at University of Chicago, led primarily by the Italian-American physicist Enrico Fermi. And by 1945, workable devices had been built. You say, how's that possible? How could that be done? So let's talk about the milieu that we were in, middle of World War II, and prompted primarily by refugee physicists from Europe who saw directly what you would call the personification of evil evident in the leadership of Nazi Germany at the time, were absolutely adamant that something like this had to be developed because the physicists left behind in Germany, some of whom were very, very adept, could conceivably develop such a device themselves. And if they developed this device, for example, the people that discovered fission, Otto Hahn, Fritz Strassmann, they were both German. Why couldn't they develop this bomb? And so essentially, everyone got on board because the alternative to have Germany develop such a device and us not develop such a device would look to be a horrific outcome. So over a period of essentially 3.5 years, the endeavor was to separate these isotopes and to build this entire apparatus and then assemble a bomb. The fact that this was done, the fact that it was all possible, is a testament to the driven nature of the physicists and engineers that were involved in a variety of locations, primarily at Los Alamos and also at Oak Ridge, where we have Oak Ridge National Laboratory now in Tennessee. It's just quite remarkable. But what happened after this bomb was built, now here's the interesting point that many of you probably know, is that war in Europe had already ended by the time the nuclear weapon was a go. And in fact, it was ascertained relatively quickly after Nazi Germany was overthrown that the German physicists had not moved forward with the production of a bomb and, in fact, were nowhere near the production of any kind of a nuclear weapon. So amazingly enough, some of the physicists, primarily led by Szilard again, whose idea primarily was at the beginning to put together this effort, got together and formed a petition saying we should not continue to use the bomber, we should not use it in the first place, that we should instead just test it, show that it could be effective, and then leverage that for the cessation of hostilities in the Pacific. Unfortunately, as you know, or fortunately, depending on to whom you talk, we ended up going ahead and using that bomb, not once, but twice, two different variations of the same bomb. The interesting thing about it is physicists, once they got themselves into this so far, there was no turning back. And sometimes it seems that way when you have information at your fingertips. You never know where it's going to go and how it's going to turn out. For many years in the last 20, that hasn't been something at the forefront of our thought. But now again, with the developments in Asia, it seems like we are reliving this nightmare all over again. Hope you think about that sometimes. This is Dave Cornielsen for STEM Spots, signing off.
STEM Spots is available online at ksmu.org.